So go ahead and turn with me to Matthew 25. We're going to be talking about the 10 virgins this morning. So one of the key words we're going to be using this morning is oil. Everybody say oil. I meant to bring a lamp this morning and a little oil lamp that Dana got at a flea market yesterday. And out of all the things, that's what we got. Okay, I couldn't get the gate door I wanted. I couldn't get this or that and the other. Dana walked out with what she wanted, and I didn't get what I wanted. That's a good thing about the mics. I can just say what I need to say. So next time I'm just going by myself. I'll take a U-Haul trailer with me so I can buy what I want. But she bought this cool little lamp. I have to give it up. It is a nice little lamp. It's an oil lamp. And in that lamp, the lamp is awesome, okay? It's really nice. It's copper. It's got some patina on it. But everything is nice. It's beautiful. Dana put it up on the mantle. Looks great. But that lamp is useless without what? Oil. Say it one more time. Oil. It is useless without oil. If I go and I buy a Mercedes-Benz, and it is the top of the line, I spare no expense, it's got every bells and whistles on it, if I sit down in it, it adjusts to my feet level, all the gas pedals come up, the air turns on, it greets me and says, "Hey, awesome Jimmy, you're so great today. I can't wait for you to drive me," right? And I buy the top of the line deal. But if the battery doesn't work, that car is what? Useless. Except for getting out of the rain, right? It's useless. All the technology doesn't work. The sound, the person greeting me can't say my name. The pedals can't come up to me. All I get to do is just sit in the stupid thing, right? And I don't want to do that. I want to drive it. But it's useless without its battery, without the power behind it. It's useless. And the oil that this parable is talking about, that Jesus is talking about, is what fans the flame to create light. He talks about five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. And when Scripture says foolish, it is a serious, serious term. They don't use that term lightly. And so we use foolish like in a byline or a punchline. But back in those days when you were called foolish, it was a serious indictment upon you. Serious. And so oil in the Bible is often pictured in the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit. Okay? So to have oil in our lamp means we have tapped into the power of the Holy Spirit, which illuminates our lives with the zeal and passion for God. The Holy Spirit isn't just for tongues. It isn't just for just sensationalism. The Holy Spirit indwells us to increase power from on high that we did not have. It increases the horsepower in your life, if I can appeal to the men today that love cars, amen? It jumps us up in the horsepower. It creates inside of us something that we could not do on our own. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So this means that without the oil of the Holy Spirit, our lives become lifeless. And we become once again dependent on our own strength, on our own devices, and our own resources. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of what I can do myself. I'm a talented guy, all right? I can paint. I can do, hey, we won the toilet bowl championship the other day, by the way. I'm just saying, all right? Zach, you know, I meant to bring the trophy up here. It's literally a trophy. It's a toilet trophy, all right? It's not made out of plastic. It's porcelain, right? You saw it. It's impressive. So in this church, we have a lot of talent in here. We've got singers. We've got writers and authors. Did you guys know this lady over here is an author, has written an awesome book? Check it out. It's fantastic. We've got landscapers that do a brilliant job. We've got teachers in the house. We've got homemakers that raise children brilliantly, all right? Few bald spots, but they're doing it. They're making it work. And so we've got the whole gamut of people that are in this place that are extremely talented. And we can do a lot of really, really good things, right? How many of you guys use the internet? That's pretty awesome, right? There's talent there. There's brilliance among us. But the thing is that our brilliance has a cap. Our health in our bodies are perishable, right? There's going to be an end to our lives. And so what I'm saying this morning is that the Holy Spirit causes us to do things that are supernatural, that are beyond our ability, beyond our capability. Listen, the way that you love your spouse, the way you love your mother or your father or your loved ones has limitations. It's biased. Even if we love them with all of our hearts and with all of our strength and with all of our might, we're still limited in our love. And so that's why we need the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit to cause us to forgive when we can't forgive, to cause us to have peace when there's chaos going all around us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the oil that Jesus is talking about this morning. And as we choose to come away with the Lord in the secret place, we are renewed in the Holy Spirit, and our oil levels are replenished. So it's in the secret place that our oil is replenished. It's not by our good works. It's not by how many outreaches we do or how many people we raise up in ministry or how good we are to our neighbor or how many Bible verses we know or how many times we've taken communion or whatever the you name what good work you do. It's not about any of that. And so this morning, if you'll turn with me again to Matthew 25. If you don't have it, it's right up there. Matthew 25. Jesus is given a parable of the 10 virgins and says this. Jesus says, at the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. In other words, there was a delay. At midnight, the cry rang out, here comes the bridegroom. Come out and meet him. Verse 7, then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give me some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied. That sounds so bad, right? No, they replied. It sounds selfish at first. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went out to meet him at the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. All right? So here we see that there is, when I was studying for this, there's a lot of interpretations for this story, but most all agree that the oil in the lamp represents the Holy Spirit. So our focus today will be on the oil. Everybody say oil. Oil is important in this story because it lights the way. It's the centrality of this entire story. Okay, both sets of virgins, five and five, had their lamp. They had oil in their lamps, but there were five foolish ones that were like, you know what, he's going to come right away. It's not that big a deal. We're just going to go with what we've got. How many of you guys ever decided to just go with what you got? Doesn't work all the time, does it? Doesn't work all the time. And so there has to be adequate preparation in order for us not only to meet the bridegroom, but to have a relationship with the bridegroom. All right? And so we see that All 10 virgins had oil in their lamps, but five wise virgins brought extra oil with them. This was in preparation for any delays of the bridegroom. So the foolish virgins made a fatal assumption that the bridegroom was going to come sooner than later. They assumed they wouldn't need extra oil. How many of you guys ever assumed something and got burned, right? Got burned. Had that happen a lot in my day. So they thought that they had enough to sustain them. And oftentimes what we do as believers is we feel that we have had enough to sustain us through whatever circumstance it comes our way. And the problem is that we get caught up in saying that our church attendance is enough oil. Our good works is enough oil. My tithing is enough oil. My small group attendance is enough oil, right? Even my Bible reading is enough oil. Sometimes we can make anything that God has deemed holy, and we can turn it around and make it so legalistic and religious that it is void of all power whatsoever. But it's until we get into the secret place that we understand that the oil that we need is more than we have presently. We need more oil. As believers, we have got to be experts at buying oil. And the way that we buy oil is in the secret place in prayer. And I'm not talking about just praying as you go down the road. I'm talking about a focused time of quiet before the Lord so that He can speak to you, so that He can invest in you, so that He can bring revelation and understanding in His Word to you. We can't do that over a country song on the radio. We can't do that, going about our day. I mean, yes, I pray in my car. Yes, I pray, I whistle while I work, okay? And we all do that. But there's got to be a time when we get alone with God. How many of you guys have ever seen the movie War Room? You guys ever seen that? If you haven't seen that movie, go get it. It is awesome, all right? And this little black lady, she's got this room in her house. It's her closet. She cleaned it out. And she's got all these prayer strategies on the wall. And she goes in there and she prays daily over those things. And she allows the Lord to speak over her life on a daily basis. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an oil that is sustaining. An oil that causes us to overcome. An oil that causes us to go above and beyond where we thought we should be. When everything else is chaos around us, we have a peace that surpasses all understanding, and you can't get that peace that surpasses all understanding haphazardly. You'll find yourself trimming your wick, but have no oil to sustain the situation that you're in. It's important that we have sustaining oil, oil that does not run out. Next week, we're going to be talking about the source of that oil and where we get it and how it flows into our life. It's going to be good. Don't miss that. So the first mistake they make when we avoid the secret place is in assumption, assuming that what we currently have will carry us over in the future of uncertainty. All right? Let me ask you a question. How many of you guys have plans today when you leave, right? You got plans? Some of you guys are going on the mission field for about a couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so. Others, you're going to be gathering with friends tomorrow. How many of you guys are going to be working, right? Going to be working. Some of you guys are off. That's awesome. On the 4th, we all have plans, right? But here's the thing. Scripture tells us that our life is a vapor. Here 1 second, gone the next. Right? We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised that we're going to be alive when we leave this service. I'm a chaplain at the fire department in Green Bay, and I went in last Thursday, and there was the chief was telling me they just got back into the fire station when I got there, and they went to a church call. There was a church just right down the road from me. They had a call, and one of their elders fell out in the floor and died right there during the church service. Now, you try to square that away on a Sunday morning. That just doesn't happen. I've seen pastors that are preaching and they just fall straight over, passed out, and their health failed them. And so we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised our next breath. And so, but we love to plan because that's what we do. We're good planners and we love to strategize and have a plan and all these different things. And that's all good. I'm not preaching about not having plans and completely relying upon the Lord and your next step and all that different stuff. I'm not saying that. But we are not promised tomorrow. We're not promised our next breath. And so that's why it's important that we are to, as we have opportunity, get into that secret place. While it is still called today, come before the Lord. Passionately call upon His name. Buy oil not for your circumstance, but for your life. Amen? So many times we get caught up in just buying enough oil to get through this circumstance. When the Lord is saying, if you will trust me, I will give you water where you'll thirst no more. Your thirst will be quenched forever. I'll give you oil that will never run out if you'll seek me while I'm still found today. If you'll seek me. And so here we see the foolish virgins had a get-by mentality. They invested themselves in the secret place only to the degree that their life responsibilities seemed to demand from them. Right? I don't know about you guys, but my year has been tough. I was just telling Becky that one of Dana's friends, by the way, give context there. Sorry. She came in, flew in, and having a good time together. She's going up for a vacation and stuff with her family. But I was telling her that we're catching up and told her, I said, man, I've had one of the toughest years of my life. It's been hard because I've lost family members. And I'm not talking about distant relatives. I'm talking about, you know, in 5 years, 5 years ago, I lost my dad. 5 months ago, lost my brother, lost aunts and uncles. My brother died on the same day that my uncle's funeral was taking place. I mean, come on. This is tough stuff. This is not trying to pray over a cold or trying to pray over a hurt toe. I mean, this is serious life-altering stuff. And in the midst of that, it's just like the other day. Grief is a weird thing, right? If you lost somebody close, you know what I'm talking about. It sneaks up on you. Friday morning, I think it was, we were watching Fox and Friends, and they had a guy on there, and he was singing a song called I Drive Your Truck. How many of you guys have heard that song? Country song. It's about a brother that lost his younger brother in the war, and to get over his grief, he takes his brother's truck and he drives it. Left his brother's stuff in there the way he left it, and he goes and he just drives his truck. And I start bawling just all of a sudden. I get up. I'm like, I go into the kitchen. I can't stop. It's one of those ugly cries where your shoulders are going up and down. You know what I'm talking about. I'm like, I can't, what is going on here? You know, what is going? And I'm still grieving over my brother. Grief is a tricky thing. Life is difficult. We're not promised that things are going to be rosy and fine and great. And when we pray and we fast over our family, sometimes people, they just die. Sometimes family members die and they don't know the Lord. And in those moments, in those times, you had better have oil that will not only sustain you for the moment, that will take you beyond until a relationship that will sustain you for the rest of your life. I'm talking about an oil that goes beyond crisis, that goes beyond pain, and sustains you throughout your life. That brings revelation to the Word of God, that brings peace to your life when no peace can be found. When you should be struggling, you're celebrating. That's the peace that surpasses all understanding, and that peace cannot be found except for the oil of the Lord. It can only be found in the secret place. It can't be found just praying a quick Mickey Mouse prayer before you go to bed. It's about a prayer that sustains, a prayer that goes deeper than marrow deep, a prayer that goes beyond your heart and into the depths of your soul. That's the secret place. That's where the Lord can be found, amen? But the foolish virgins, they had a get-by mentality. They only bought oil to sustain them for the moment. They couldn't see the big picture. They couldn't see that there'll be delays in the waiting, that there'll be pauses in the chaos, that there'll be curveballs in our prayer life. They only saw what was in front of them, but never the God above them and in them. That is where the secret place is. And see, the wise virgins showed their diligence by garnering a depth in God that was greater than their present life responsibilities demanded. In other words, the wise didn't come to the secret place simply to buy oil for their life's demands. They also came to buy oil for themselves in order to have a passionate, private relationship with the Lord. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Our prayers matter. Your prayer life matters. Not just for yourself, but for all those who are around you as well. We are all ministers. We are all priests. We are all called to the same calling, and that is to seek and to save that which is lost. As you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those who are in Christ Jesus. We need to understand that the oil that is required for our life goes beyond the mirror that is in front of us. And it goes to, Paul said, I want to be poured out like a drink offering. And the reason why he said that is because he wanted everybody to taste and see that the Lord is good. Paul said, I didn't come with just eloquence of words only, but with a demonstration of power. Power that he did not have himself. Power that he could not conjure up himself. Power that could not be attained through just scripture reading alone or a dried up prayer life alone, but comes from the secret place that bubbled up into his life and poured out onto everybody that was around him. That's the oil that these wise virgins had, because they understood that the moment they could not see what was ahead of them, so they prepared for delays. And as believers, we gotta prepare for delays. How many of you guys ever prayed and got a delay? Yeah. Rest of you, just keep praying. It's going to happen. So it doesn't cost much to get oil for life's demands. It doesn't. You say a quick, hurry prayer. Oh, God, I know I hadn't prayed in like a month, but man, I really need this job. And God is gracious, and a lot of times he gives us what we asked. But what happens when that job is delayed? What happens when that job doesn't come through? Then we become circumstantial worshipers. We thank God on Sunday, and we're like, thank you, God. I got an interview. I got the job. Hallelujah. Let's sing about what a wonderful name it is. Let's pray. Let's praise and say, they're talking about the Lion of Judah and all of these different things. But then all of a sudden it's delayed. Or they take somebody other than you. Then what happens to your praise? Then what happens to your worship? Then what happens to your thanksgiving? You see, it's circumstantial praying, circumstantial worship that confuses the world. They want to see consistency. They want to see a man and woman of God worship in the delay, worship in the struggle, worship through loss, worship through pain, worship through sickness. This world needs to see you. They need to see your joy and your suffering. They need to see the peace of God in your chaos. They need to see you worshiping when you don't want to worship. They want to see you praying when you haven't heard God's voice in a month. Amen? Because we serve a God that never leaves us, never forsakes us. And if he hasn't spoken to us, we need to stop asking God, why haven't you spoken to us? And say, Lord, what is it in my life that I cannot hear your voice? Right? That's taking stock in our lives. That's getting to the heart of the matter. That's buying sustainable, life-giving oil. The oil of authentic, real relationship is bought at the cost of investing time and energy in the secret place. Right? The foolish will allow urgent matters of the moment to pull them away from the secret place. But the wise will know to press in times of stress and uncertainty, because they know they have that extra dose of the Holy Ghost to see them through. The wise will know to press in and not pull out. When the devil starts messing with our destiny and our purpose, at that point, the wise know to press in and go deeper. That when resistance comes, when you know your call, when you know your destiny, when you know what God has placed you on this earth for, I want you to know this, the enemy will not let that go unchecked. He will challenge you at every prayer, every opportunity for you to have faith in the circumstance. He'll challenge you in your family. He'll challenge you in your job. Wherever it is that you hold dear, the enemy will come after you. But the wise know in that moment to say to that mountain, to be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. The wise know to press in and to not give up. The wise know to go deeper and not pull away. It's in those moments that we grow as men and women of God. I wish it was on the mountaintops. Now, we do learn from the mountaintop experiences. We do. But we have revelation in the struggle. Amen? We learn in the mountaintop experiences, but we have revelation in the struggle. We grow into men and women of God that expand our borders beyond what we could ever do ourselves based on going deeper and more intimate with the Lord. That's why sometimes the world goes, are you out of your mind? Why are you still praying? Right? Job. Let's just look at Job, right? Job was one of the righteous men that ever lived. And yet all of his family except for his wife died in one single day. Lost it all. Lost his house, all of his camels, his livestock, all of it gone. But on top of it, Job got these horrific boils all over his body. And Scripture said he sat in ash, took broken pottery, and was scratching himself with it. That's some pretty bad situations, right? Everybody can agree at that moment, Job, you got a right to have a grief with God for a minute, you know? And Job's wife came along while he's sitting there scratching these boils around what was his life, grieving over all of his kids, all of his wealth, all of his stuff gone. And Job's wife walks by and says, are you still holding on to your relationship with God? Why don't you curse him and just die already? But Job says something profound. He said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. That man has oil that is sustainable. That man has oil that's not just for the circumstance, but for life, for everything imaginable. That is the oil that is present and available to every single one of us today. If we're ready to receive it and pay the price and spend time in his presence. And spend time in the presence of the one that Isaiah saw when he saw that he saw the Lord lifted up and the train of his robe filled the temple. And he saw all the cherubim screaming to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. To understand that we can have this kind of relationship with God blows my mind, but compels me to go deeper. Amen? Compels me to go deeper. So the foolish, they only sought him when things were urgent, but it was the wise that showed their diligence by garnering a depth in God that was greater than their present life responsibilities demanded. when their foolishness became obvious, the foolish will turn to the wise and say, give me some of your oil. But the wise will understand that there are no shortcuts to an overflowing passion for Jesus. I remember hearing, how many of you guys know who T.D. Jakes is? That guy, I mean, you need to YouTube this guy. He is incredible. He's phenomenal. Powerful preacher. And he said one time he grew up in poverty. He's like this mega, he's known worldwide. His church was right down the road from where Dana and I went to college, and just a monstrosity of a building. But he didn't start that way. His first church, he lived in poverty. He said, we played a game at our house every time the lights went off because we couldn't pay the bills. And so the kids were small enough to believe it was a game, and so we played hide-and-go-seek in the dark. And he said, but we kept being faithful to the Lord. We kept pressing in and going deeper. We believed God had called us, that God was going to do something in our area. And all of a sudden, over a period of time, struggling and holding on to God and the calling of God, T.D. Jakes is where he is today, known worldwide. Powerful man of God. And he said, I am so tired of all these upstart pastors coming to me and saying, Pastor T.D. Jakes, would you give me some of your anointing? Would you give me some of your power? Would you give me some of that anointing you got on them? And he said, finally, I turned around, laid my hands on this guy, and he said, I started praying the most ridiculous thing I could think of. Lord, I ask that they can't pay the bills next week. I pray the kids get sick. I pray that they can't have, they don't have enough money to buy the groceries, and they have to go down to the local pantry to get groceries. God, humble them. Bring them to themselves. Break them. And the man pushed his hands back and said, I don't want any of that. And T.D. Jakes said, then you don't want what I have. You don't want what I have. Guys, that kind of anointing doesn't come by a halfway prayer as we fall asleep at night. It comes because we are deliberate and purposefully seeking the face of God in the secret place. And when we do that, we'll have a greater anointing. We'll have a greater authority. We'll have a greater love and passion for Jesus that we have ever had in our entire lives. And what's more important is everybody around you will see it. Everybody around you will experience and benefit from the secret place in your life. That's the kind of oil I want today. My advice to you today as I close is buy oil. Buy oil. If it costs you all that you have, buy oil. There's a man by the name of Bob Sorge once said, he wrote the book called Secret Place. I would encourage you to read that book. Says this, the issue is not work harder. The issue is get oil. The secret is apply yourself to enlarging your connection to the source of divine oil. The more this oil flows into your inner being, the brighter your lamp will blaze before God and before man. Would you stand up with me?